Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Jordana Abraham, Sammy Sage, and me, Aileen Drexler. We talk about it all, from the latest celeb drama to the best movies and TV shows out now. We share all of our thoughts, even the unpopular ones. Welcome to our pop culture group chat.
Hello, and welcome back to a special bonus episode of the Betches podcast, Speak Now, Betches version. I'm Holly.
I'm Sammy, and today we are joined by a very, very special guest who I could not be more excited to have with us. My friend, NBC News Capital correspondent, you probably could see her on TV, like, what's that lyric in Midnights? Because when am I on TV? My friend, fellow Swifty, Ali Vitale. Yeah.
I am honored to be here. Thank you. This is like taking my Swifty cooldom to the next level.
Ali, do you think there are people who never, you know, who wanted it comfortable, but you wanted that pain and they never think of you except for when they see you on TV?
I definitely think those people exist. At least in my main character energy mind, they 100% exist.
The ones that got away.
We are thrilled. I bet they think about you. We are thrilled to have you and your mug, which says sipping coffee on like you're on a late night show, which is just
so prepared.
If you have that on hand, you're a real sweetheart.
That might beat my Betches, we have the fuck the patriarchy keychain, but that might beat it. I gotta say, that's an adorable
mug. I got
mug.
One of those.
I need to get one of those. No, you know what I found the other day, Ali, in my drawer? Your Electable pin, which reminded me, this is really why we wanted to have you on today. In addition to being on TV reporting live from the Capitol building every day, minus today. We are blessed with her here. Ali wrote a book called Electable, which was about why there has not been a woman president elected. And I just feel like today was the way we were seeing like almost this like gender binary flipped with the way like Travis was like stepping up to be this like really supportive partner. It just made me think of you in, and obviously I know we DM and you love Taylor Swift. So I just thought you'd be perfect to join us. You know, we're going to keep having Swifties on here. So
I love it.
Yeah.
You guys give us a space to nerd out in official fashion.
No judgment.
The haters can get, they can.
Haters gonna hate.
Yeah. And we will shake. But it does allow me to take my Taylor Swift group chat to the next level. Like, I have to shout out the Swift Squad because we've talked about all of these topics like every single day. So the fact that I now have an official forum for it is like, oh my God, I can't believe.
Yeah. And I mean, I know you're not talking about this in your day job, unfortunately.
Who's to say?
I've seen you sneak some references in there here.
I got the opportunity to openly question why men are so obsessed with cage matches the other day in Congress. And it wasn't even a stretch. They were all trying. The boys were fighting.
Right. It's they brought that upon themselves. I heard you reference that, like, the guy who was going to take off, who's taking off his rings was like a woman pulling out her hoop earrings.
Everyone get me hoop earrings for Christmas now. That was my low key way of requesting.
Oh, that's okay. That's a great tip. Okay. So obviously we've seen the clips. We've seen the magic. We saw the Argentina night too. Where he we had the change in the Chiefs lyrics. I don't need to explain what happened to the people listening to this. You saw
right,
it.
They probably
the
know.
People know.
What did you think?
They've seen.
Yeah.
What an amazing moment. I mean, she just looks like she's actually having fun, right? And as someone who is not friends with Taylor Swift, but as we all pretend, like we're all her best friend, like all you want to see is having your friend like have fun with the person that they're dating. And it was so cute to see the dancers in on the joke. Like, I vacillate very heavily between wanting like to let these people figure their relationship out in private and then also needing to mainline every update into my veins.
Right.
So same. This felt like...
But it's not up to you. It's up to them.
Not up to me. Yeah. It's up to them. And thank God. But I loved it. I mean, what did you think?
Same. I think I've rewatched the video of her running to him from all different angles. Like, I cannot get enough. I know we were actually saying in the Betches pod earlier that it could be seen as overkill, but what I thought was really sweet was that he had his hands behind his back. So, you know, there's a lot of discussion saying, like, this was his way of letting her take the reins of how public she wanted to, you know, make this about PDA. Like, are they going to kiss? Is she just going to hug him? Is she just going to, you know? So I thought that was really respectful of him, just kind of letting her take charge. Like, I think, I know on the most recent New Heights episode with his brother Jason, he said that, like, he knew the lyric change might happen, but he was shocked that she actually went through with it. So I think he knew a lot of this might be happening. This might be their big PDA moment. And he just let her take control, which I loved.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel obviously exactly the same. My one feeling to what you were saying, Holly, because we talked about this a little bit on the main episode, but like we didn't really go into it, because Jordana, who is, she's not a Swiftie, but you know, she's not mainlining it like some of us. And she was like, oh, it's a little bit much. And my perspective was like, I thought the lyric thing was like so perfect, adorable, amazing. And I think the kiss... Just because we also saw those videos where Scott Swift is like showing him where to stand. And it's like, obviously, like it was planned that there would be an interaction in public when it could have been an interaction like in the tent. Like no one would have been like, oh, my God, like they're not really into each other after the seeing his overall like demeanor, like he was super supportive. And like, I think that's what people are responding to, why it's like they're willing to forgive a little bit of like the showmanship, because it's like it does feel real enough even in the moments when it's the energy of it, even though it's all showmanship, it's all public, the energy of it feels genuine. So even if they do have like other motivations or whatever, or they're like kind of rushing into it a little blind, it's still so genuine, the feelings, that it's like, okay, let them just be happy. What are you going to tear it down?
Yeah, right. It's genuine. And it's also like, this is a woman who is known for making her art out of what she's doing in her life. And we have criticized her for that. We have like cast stones at her for that. And the fact that she would change a lyric in real time to reflect that it's just because she's happy, God bless, you know, who can fault someone for that? And I think there's something really beautiful when you get into a new relationship and you just want to shout about it from the rooftops. People would be following them regardless. I think the fact that they're leaning in is them just accepting the reality that people are interested. They're going to do that whether or not they want it. And whether they're kissing backstage or in front of the stage, like, whatever, they're happy. Let them live.
Yeah, I mean, she does tend to react to her last thing. Like, last, you know, why, you know, she was with Joe for a really long time. I think the privacy really served her in the beginning. But then once it became clear that it was, like, it wasn't just privacy. It was, like, stifling. So, and that's the flip side of like, you know, really hardcore privacy. With this, I think she wants to, she likes this and she's probably craving it.
Yes.
In reality, a combination of getting to know each other and being public would probably be like a better setup for like a longer period of time. But also, who gives a shit? Like, let her rush into it. Let's let her get engaged, do whatever she wants too fast. She'll be fine. She has the resources to, like, not do something dumb. You know, let her do everything that will make her happy. Let her make her mistakes. And let's just let it happen. That's what, like, true feminism is.
I will say, she also, if we're thinking about like her reacting in real time with lyrics, I remember going when I was at the Eras tour and she sort of re-emphasized different words in You Meet a Woman on the Internet and Take Her Home. Like,
take
we felt
her
that
home.
Exactly. Yep. And we felt that re-emphasis because of her going through a breakup with Joe Alwyn, which, first of all, I was never here for that relationship. The fact that he felt the need to reemerge out of his abyss like yesterday on the internet, like literally no one cares. Go away. Goodbye. Yeah. Sammy's like, did he? Because no one cares.
I thought they looked like siblings. They looked like siblings to me. I was not for it.
This is a man who, like, no.
I see why it worked for the time in the beginning when it worked.
When she was at her lowest.
When she was at her lowest, and she didn't want to be part of these, like, mean, famous, you know, people who she perceives as always looking out for themselves. She probably liked that he was, like, a little more artsy, a little more anonymous. She falls hard anyway.
A little more anonymous? The man is a nobody.
Right. No one knew him. The fact that no one still cares.
No one knew him. But then she also thought her career was over. She made Folklore and Evermore, which I feel were her most, like, in a way, honest, like,
yes,
where she was willing to, like, just let it be what it is because she wasn't trying to, like, make something commercially successful. I felt that those were, like, that's where she, like, really came into herself and, like, learned about herself. And she was like, wait, actually, like, I don't want to be, like, torn down by this guy who doesn't like me to be whatever I want to be at when I want to be it. And I think with it, at least with Travis, like, he's someone who lets her do that. And it doesn't feel publicly right now. I'll put a little asterisk that it's bothering him and that he's insecure about that.
Yeah, he celebrates it.
He does. But there's all. Okay, just my other little voice in my brain is like, I know shades of this guy who loves to be seen as, like, the public gentleman. Yeah. And it's not like a love bombing. I'm not going into narcissism, but, like, there is a guy who, like, gets, like, that is his, that's the person he likes to be. And there's, and it covers up, like, a little bit of an asshole. But also maybe I don't know him, so I don't know. But I do get that, like, just a little bit of a vibe.
Oh. There is a beautiful Kacey Musgrave song called Breadwinner.
Love
that song.
It is, like, what you need to look out for in every kind of guy that you're describing, where it's like, he wants your dinner until he's not hungry anymore. He wants your shimmer until he starts feeling insecure. Like,
I'm getting chills right now because I think about that song all. That is one of my favorite songs. I love Kacey Musgrave.
That is my Roman Empire. Oh. I think about Breadwinner every day.
Oh, yeah, Allie, that should be, like, the topic of your next book. Like, you should write about, like, about that, like, dynamic where it's like, because I think when, for a guy like that early on, he likes that he can be a guy. He likes to see himself as a guy who can be super supportive of that. But then life is long and things are hard and dynamics change and people are less enchanting than when you first met them, and you deal with the reality of that person and what that comes with. And, like, yes, they can work out. I totally believe it can work out. But when you're, like, jumping into it, you're not, like, vetting for that dynamic. So
I am going to stay delusional for now, though.
Good. We need people. We need delusion.
To be clear, I'm not saying that that's Travis. He has shown no signs of that.
Me either. Right. I'm not. You know what? I don't want to say he's shown no signs of that because I read his Twitter. And
I've watched the dating show. It's fine. It doesn't matter.
No. That's the thing. The tweets. I'm like, man. Okay. No, but here's the thing. Like,
squirrelies forever.
Squirrely, Chipotle.
I don't want to, like, ruin everyone's fun, and I already feel that I am. I was talking about this with Kate Kennedy, and we've been talking about this. We're like, why? If I'll be honest, when you think about those tweets, like, that's, like, what got Tinks canceled. Like, those fat tweets are, like, very, that was, like, the same shit that Tinks said. She's a woman, and she got torn down for it. Also, he uses the R word. Like, I get that we all want to, like, have fun with the squirrely tweets and, like, you know, he's high and whatever it is
which we did ourselves on our Betches Instagram.
Right. I get it. We do want to do that because we're rooting for him. But if you didn't want to root for him and those came out, would you think the squirrelies were so cute? Or would you be like, this is an asshole? I don't care that he said it 10 years ago. He was an adult, blah, blah, blah. Like, it would just be a totally different story. And also, there have been fucking memes for years about men who can't use the correct form of your. And now Travis Kelce does it, and it's suddenly so cute. Like, I just don't, like, I'm just trying, like, look, I love it. I'm also mainlining this relationship, but I'm just trying to honor the other voices in my head. Mm-hmm.
I also am someone, though, and maybe this comes from covering politicians, where, like, I am all for people evolving in the right direction.
Right.
And like, I think things from 10, 15 years ago, when things were very different in terms of how we felt comfortable policing or not policing language, the ways that we opened our minds to the fact that maybe things that we thought were okay to say are not okay. Like, I'm good with progress in the forward-looking direction, because I think that's just the way that you get to a better society. So I am willing to like kind of let those tweets be what they were.
For sure. 100%. No, I completely agree with you on that. My point is more like, when it comes to somebody else, people wouldn't just let it be. Like, it's that's the difference. That's what I'm pointing out. It's not that, like, I don't care about his tweets. I really don't care probably about most people's tweets, pending what they are. But like, a different, the narrative is different than it would, than it always is. And like, that's what's sticking out to me. But again, I love them. I think it's amazing. And I don't think I agree. I don't, like, I believe in evolution for sure. Like, I know my own opinions have evolved vastly, but it's more about like the way people will take someone down for that. And like, my feeling is like, no one, I don't want to say no one, but like, just seeing the difference in the reaction.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, you know, the Swifties, he's treating her well, so they're going to see everything as in a positive lens, versus overanalyzing every little tweet or like what was said 10 years ago versus what's in our vernacular now. And, you know,
you don't think that Swifties like to analyze every little tweet?
No. They do. But I mean, like, they're not going to, I think they're going to overlook anything that could be taken slightly negatively because he's like our king now.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time, and also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me, so I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself, and that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/betches.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning. And that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable. And it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft, custom milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
Also, though, like to think about it from the way that you presented this, like the frame on this conversation of it being like a different form of partnership where she's being allowed to lead, whereas he's not. I actually don't know if I think about it exactly like that. I think of it as like the kind of partnership that a lot of people, especially women who are kind of wired like us, type A, career oriented, but we also like want to feel vulnerable and like you know, there's a lot of bad feminism wrapped up in the way that I'm talking about this. But I also think that's the only way that I ascribe to feminism. But like, it looked like a partnership to me. And like, I love the idea that like, she can be out front, but then she also shows up on Sundays. And like, as much as it's about her on Sundays, it's like really not. And he is established already in his own line of work, in his own career. Like, I know it's hilarious to watch a man be known as Taylor Swift's boyfriend, but like, he's not. He is. People know who Travis Kelce is. Like, I'm a big football girl. I'm not a Chiefs fan. I'm a Giants girl. But like, everyone knows these people. And so I think there's something so beautifully equal in the inequality that they trade off on. And I think that's like really something to aspire to and such an amazing thing to see.
Right. I think that's why they work, because they're the top of their field in each of their industries. So there's not really as fierce of a quote competition that she might have had with her actor singer ex-boyfriends that kind of fell in the same genre as her. But speaking of showing up on Sundays, I mean, their public persona is not slowing down right now, because Taylor Swift's parents are expected to meet Travis Kelce's mom and dad on Monday at the Kansas City Chiefs game versus the Eagles. So Jason and his, you know, wife and kids will be there too. So they're expected to meet together for the first time. So
I am so excited for this.
That should be very interesting.
And I'm so excited for what their after plans are, like even more. Like, what are they going to do after the game? All as a family. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I die for how quickly Mr. Swift, as Travis calls him, I die for how quickly Mr. Swift abandoned that Eagles lanyard and put on that Chiefs lanyard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is Mr. Swift's dream, let's be honest. She's been writing about this since That's the Way I Loved You. This is like the energy of that. He talks business with my father. They literally are like, they make sense. Honestly, I think this is why people are so into it. Like, the energy is so pure and real that these people could mesh family. As a family. Like, they represent like Thanksgiving as a
the
group.
The American dream.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
guys,
they really are like Swift. What's his name? Played football. Like, they're very much like, it works.
I see a baby boom coming from this. I see engagements. Because you know how they say, like, Gen Z and millennials, not as many are getting married anymore. Like, the marriage rates have gone down. I think if Taylor, I mean, this isn't super original because a lot of other people think this, but I think that if Taylor and Travis end up engaged and then end up married, I think there will be a boom and a surge in people our age, like millennial, Gen Z, that are more hopeful, more romantic. Like, I could see it. I could see it because they're like the American couple right now.
I could see that happening specifically because of what you just said, Allie, which is like, there's been this sort of feeling valid based on, I think, media culture and like just kind of like the way people talk about relationships and what's acceptable for men to do and what's not just acceptable, but like what's socially normative and cool for men to do. Like, it needs to be less cool for men to act like assholes so that more of them will stop acting like assholes. And I think that one of the reasons women are like, I don't really want that life, is because their experiences are mostly not with guys who will act at least in the way Travis Kelce is presenting publicly. And they think like, why do I need this shit? Is really kind of is really what I imagine is the question.
It's also sort of, like, making it uncool for men to be assholes, I think, is something we've seen more of in the last like 5 to 10 years. Thank God. That's not to say they're not still out there, because, oh my God, we know. Yeah. But Taylor Swift has kind of been.
And there's like a reaction.
Yeah. But she's been on the leading front of like calling assholes out for being assholes. And I think there's something really great about that, because it's not like all of us are going to pick up a pen and write a chart topping smash hit, but like, it does think, I think, like, allow young women and young people to grow up and think, okay, I don't have to just be mistreated. Like, I can advocate for myself. I can demand that I want things. Like, and there's something validating with someone who has a big platform validating your experience. And I think that's amazing.
Well, I think where people were like, you know, empathizing with like, oh, she always gets mistreated. She always, it makes you feel like people are just not, there's less hope. And not that we should all be like projecting the shit onto celebrity shit onto our stuff, but it just, you can't help the fact that our collective consciousness is part of this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, your point earlier, Allie, is like, when people see, oh, I could get a partner like that, I don't need to have a partner who takes away from me. And they're actually having this conversation on You Up. It's to some extent kind of an ongoing conversation of like, does the partner take from you, or do you add to each other? And I think that what they're showing us is that you getting married, having kids, having a family life does not have to be bad if you have this type of partnership. Not the type of partnership where like the man complains about how his wife is the ball and chain and she has to take on all the labor and doesn't get to like keep her career because he doesn't give a fuck about it. That's what I think people don't want. And yeah.
This is exactly like the article that you sent me, Sammy, from the Yahoo editorial.
Allie sent this to me as well. Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
So good.
And I think there were a couple of highlights that I saved, that the two takeaways that I copied and pasted was, knowingly or not, Taylor Swift is now teaching generations of women what it looks like to have a partner who shows up for you. And Travis Kelce is demonstrating how to be that partner, which is exactly what we were just saying. And then the woman who wrote it was a mother, and she said, I watch this, my daughter watches this, millions of women watch this and think, oh yes, this is what it's supposed to look like, a partnership. I suspect that Taylor watches it and thinks the same.
Yeah, and it's so this piece is by the author's name is Allison Wynn Scotch. This whole conversation was kind of inspired by the fact that I like quote threaded her on something. Then she like went to write this, that had a lot of engagement, which kind of was like, well, this is why we have to talk about this. And then she ended up writing an article, like elaborating on it. And it was very, yeah, no, I think this is really like the benefit of it and why we all want it to work and why we all want to root for him and her. And like why you don't care if it's a little like postured or public, you know, who cares? Yeah. Like, or if he had said shit, like that's why I think we're all kind of like, oh, I'll move past this because right now, what is working is real and the chemistry is real. And I think they're really just like adorable.
I'm like also open to both of them turning around tomorrow and being like, you know what? This wasn't for us. We tried and like, that's fine. I just think that like, I hope that doesn't happen because I have so enjoyed watching this like really seemingly pure thing just kind of like bubble up organically, in the sense that like two celebrities can have an organically bubbling relationship. But the other thing that I contrasted against is I just finished reading Britney Spears's book or Instagram caption that spans several hundred pages, whatever you want to call it. But I do think
I gotta read it now.
Like you definitely have to read it. Or listen to the audiobook because apparently it's a masterpiece. But
oh, Michelle Williams,
I read it. Yes, and I read it and I was just thinking about how like Britney and Justin were such a formative relationship for me, not just because of the impact they had on the way I think about denim, but also because they just like were the iconic teen duo. And then when you read about the ways that he just kind of completely threw her to the wolves and knew the ways to play upon the way that we think about Americana boys versus Americana girls, like you look at that and then you parlay it into what 13, 14, 15, 16 year old kids have now looking up to in Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. I would much rather that be the paradigm than Britney and Justin be the paradigm. And now I have to work through the posters that I had in my bedroom and why I was glorifying someone who like actually doesn't seem like he was that great of a person and definitely not that great of a partner.
I mean, even think about the scripted drama we watched. Gossip Girl came out I was a freshman in college. And the romantic relationship was like these two people who will not say I love you. It's like their hot thing is like refusing to show affection to each other. And it's like that is goals. Mm-hmm. Like that is presented as like the ultimate American success, you know, private school on the Upper East Side. It's like, well, I mean, now you question that. But that was the tone of the time. And like to your point about like Britney and not just her, but like all of these child stars who I think a lot of it came down to like the protectiveness of their parents, not to indict their parents, but like their parents' willingness to live off their money or see them as like an economic input, you know, to put it kindly. Yeah. And they, you know, then end up in these like sort of relationships with people who do that to them too. And that was what was like out there, public, cool. Taylor Swift this whole time has been uncool. And I think what's really beautiful is that we're watching, that we got to watch her, like, learn the way I think a lot of us have, like, yes, what it looks like when someone respects you and, like, what to give them of yourself and what not to give them of yourself. And it feels, at least now, that she's not giving to her herself to someone who doesn't appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Allie, now you have me thinking of, like, the Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens of it all. I wonder.
Yes.
I wonder what happened there.
I would have questions about that, too.
They would be like my Justin and Brittany, I would say. So I'm very curious if there will be a Baby V tell-all one.
But you know, the other relationship now that I'm thinking of is Summer and Seth in the OC, or like kind of the early nuggets of like a Travis and Taylor. And let me go with this because I'm coming up with it in real time. But like, she was really like the leader of that pack. And like, you watch the ways that they pushed and pulled and like supported and then didn't support or whatever each other. And like, to the extent that I think Sammy's right when she says that, like, we are obviously individual people who are projecting onto pop culture, but like, that's what pop culture exists and is there for. And to think that it doesn't shape the ways that we live our lives and think about things is to pretend like it's not real. Like, that's not reality. Right. So I don't know. I think all of these early examples, when, I mean, going back to Disney character movies, which like set us up for completely poor dynamics of what relationships are, especially in heteronormative relationships for women, right, like,
This is
lovely. Like, it's fun and it's frivolous, but then like, yep, because I can't have just fun and I'm always thinking about gender, like, this is the direction that I would take it.
Same. I literally can't, but also I'm like, so does Taylor, as her music is. And like, ultimately that's really why I care so much about her, because of her music. It's like her music that, and her lyrics that make me curious about her as a person. I don't care this much about like any celebrity, like any other celebrity, except maybe Meryl Streep.
Same.
Like, but you don't get to see, you don't get to think, you don't, right, get to see. She's acting in on a script. Like, Taylor's like, there's so many things to discover, and you can discover new things about yourself. And it's just, yes, like, just such a fun,
all your eras.
Yeah.
I mean, not only that, but this is a woman who like took the word slut and like, I think you and I were texting about this, Sammy, like, took the word slut, and we all expected it, or at least I did, to be like a the man kind of anthem. And she takes all of these criticisms of like just dating and like being a sexual human and like just being a girl, and says like, all right, fine. Like, if they're going to call me a slut, at least I found someone who it's worth being called a slut for. And I, yes, think there's just something so beautiful and relatable in like seeing that song come out and knowing it was from a different time in her life, and then watching it apply to right now, where like, no one is saying, oh God, Taylor Swift has another boyfriend. They're saying like, oh wow, this one seems like kind of cool and fun.
Right. I think like the narrative of Taylor Swift and, you know, always having another boyfriend, like, I'll, you know, I am back. I read into the PR of things.
Yeah.
I think what really happened was like, most of her relationships that have been public have been professionally driven relationships or professionally facilitated. And that's just the reality of her life. Even this was professionally facilitated to some point. Like, we can't deny that. But, mm-hmm, I think what happened probably to her in the past is that she fell for these people thinking, oh, they actually, like, thinking, right, that what was professional for them, because she can't ever have just, I meet someone, it's always going to have our teams, our people involved.
Right, some element of that.
So the people she was dating, they were like, maybe call it 60-40 about the professional. And she was like, zero, you know, 20-80 about the professional. And I think that's my feeling now looking back, is like, that's what got her heart broken a lot. Mm. And because she would always like fantasize about like these, you know, that's just who she is. And I feel like now, maybe because he kind of like made the first bid, and because she is bigger than him. Like, yeah, no one knows who Travis Kelce is, yeah, outside of the United States. Now they might. But, yeah, but they did it, you know? So I think that, and it takes like, yeah, I think that it like just is a different dynamic this time, even if there were professional elements to it.
Yeah, I think this might be the first time that we saw someone like publicly wooing her. Like, I think all of these other situations, like you said, have either been PR set up, everything's under the radar, then they make their first appearance holding hands at a dinner or at a hotel. But this was the first situation where he didn't stop. It was like, yep, I went to see the Eras tour. She didn't see me, made her a friendship bracelet. She didn't take it. And then he just kept publicly talking about her. And I'm sure, like you said, to some extent, like her team must have gotten word of this from the headlines and informed her. I don't know if she's before this, I don't know
that
if
she was
tracking.
That woman is all over the internet.
She knows.
Yeah, she knows. I think she liked it. I think she knows.
Yeah. It would have been that anyway. Like, I feel like this is her leaning into the fact that, like, I mean, the thing that actually blew my mind more is when she says in the song that just came out, like, 300 awkward blind dates later, like, who is going on a blind date with Taylor Swift? No one is going in blind to that. Like, this is blind dating Taylor Swift style. This is a man who comes and has to, like, get his team to, like, get a little bit noticed. And I'm fine with that, honestly. Like, God bless.
It comes with it. For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those 5 precision engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving. Around the office, we have so many colorful framed art prints and photos. It creates such a fun atmosphere, and it gives our space that unique Betches character. I wanted to frame some stuff at home too, but custom framing can be so difficult and so expensive. So the things I want to display end up collecting dust in a closet. But FrameBridge makes it easy and affordable to get your special artwork and memories in frames so you can spice up your space with ease. I love FrameBridge. I framed my ketubah for my wedding. The process was unbelievably easy. They send you a canister to send in your artwork. They send you a few different options of ways that they can frame it. You get to pick. They're actually helping me also design the frame that works best with the picture and best for my home. And getting custom frames can be difficult. FrameBridge is easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. You can easily order online at FrameBridge.com or visit a retail store if you need some guidance. You can also upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item in using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Then FrameBridge custom frames your piece in the studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. See why FrameBridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit FrameBridge.com or a local FrameBridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's FrameBridge.com.
Do we think 300 blind dates later is code for like 10 months sober, like for clean? So maybe she was just saying 300 blind dates later, but she didn't actually, like, you know.
I mean, she didn't count 300 dates. It's
no,
it could
way.
Mean Definitely. Any. It could mean any.
Exaggeration.
I think it could be a number that sounded right. good. It could be a number that means something to her and the person. It could be a number that means something only to her. Like, it could just be, you know, we'll find out one day when someone cracks the code.
I like that clean parallel.
I think it's the same storyline for clean, that it's like it took her 10 months to get over who that song is about and then clean.
Right. But that would imply a date every single day. Just,
but
I don't
but
know.
We know her. She could be exaggerating like all these guys right, that I'm meeting right, for 10 months. And we know her. She's dramatic.
Maybe I'm being a little too literal about it.
I mean, except for the 300 takeout coffees, because
that's believable.
Relatable as fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that would imply one date per day if it's the same, if it's the
go.
Same, like, you know.
And then she's finally clean.
Yes, for now.
I think the clean parallel is so good. Wait, I'm like very
Thank
into
you.
This now.
There's so much to, this is like why it's so good. Like there's so much to discover.
Her mashup of Is It Over Now and Out of the Woods, like the fact that she actually did that live in person.
She wanted people's eyes on the show.
That.
Oh, yes.
All eyes on me in the center of the ring, just like a circus. As
just like a circus.
An Endgame, singing Endgame. Endgame.
Yeah.
Directly to him. Right. And in blank space when she said, because you know I love the players, and she was like pointing to the VIP booth.
I mean, who am I? Okay.
My thoughts are summed up. Okay, did you see Hillary Burton's tweet? That is like my exact wavelength right now. So she said, they are going to have the most flannel-lined pie and red ribbon kind of Christmas, and then these babies are going to be engaged by May.
I completely see that.
I agree.
And then, like, they'll plan a wedding for after the tour.
Like, I want that for them if they want that for them. That's it.
Right.
I agree. I think it feels like they would want that for them. Because this is the kind of thing. It's like, once you're not doing the, like, where, once you're not on a one-year trajectory, two-year, we're going at this pace, you go there and you get married and you take it from there, or you break up before. But it doesn't, like, stop at this. When it's like this, it doesn't stop until it might not ever, but, you know, it just goes quick.
Oh, I hope it doesn't. Forevermore.
Forever.
He's fucked if it does. So don't worry too much about her.
I mean, I have feelings about, you know, the 6-year relationship, Joe Alwyn, whatever. Like,
what are your feelings?
I mean, ooh. I just have feelings that, like, you know, if you're writing songs like Tolerate It over the course of that kind of a relationship, you know that you're not in something that's for the best, but you're also loyal to a fault. And like, this is like, maybe this is us having this conversation. Maybe this is me like going back to therapy like I did yesterday. But like, toxic loyalty is a thing, I think. This is me trying to parse through it. So I like that, like, they're coming to an inflection point. It's been a few months. Like, you're figuring out how serious it is.
Well, I think with the 6-year thing, it's like, okay, now it's easy to see when she was writing Tolerate It and all this stuff that where it would go. But she was still coming from like, no one's ever gonna like me because I'm hidden. Like, Tolerate It was before she knew she would become who she is, the person she is publicly now. Like, that was just an honest, all of that was just like honest from the heart work where she wasn't really trying to like make a point. She was making the point that it was not about her, even though maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. She is clearly able to spin things up from her mind because she was writing about things when she was so young to have not experienced them. So
She's still grappling at that point with, like, can I ever give you peace? And also, like, do you tolerate it? And also, I have dreams about, like, saying no to your proposal, right? Like, all of those live in the same place.
Right. Or is it, like, is it, like, are they incompatible or are they just in, like, a rough patch? You know, is it her fault or is he, you know, is she the problem? Is it me? Am I the problem?
Well, in one of the lyrics, she says, I know my love? I think it's, I know my love should be celebrated, but you tolerate it. So maybe she was all in and he just, you know, maybe wasn't.
I'm sure it was like a mix of all these feelings of like confusion. And I also think like the 6 years of it all, while it was going on, their quiet, we projected on as like happiness. And and he's such a nice guy. He's so easygoing. Now, everyone, if you've noticed, is projecting like it was bad. It was not, it was toxic, all this stuff. So the silence that they showed basically makes it possible for the narrative to change completely and also never have any basis because they just didn't show that much.
I've never heard silence quite this loud. There we go.
I haven't either.
Midnights is a breakup album, 100%. I mean, I know she says they're taken from different parts of her life, but I think a majority of it is about Joe. And I thought that when I first listened to it, because a lot of people are like, oh my God, Maroon is a love song. This one's a love song. I'm like, I don't think I take this album as that.
It's a love loss
at
song.
All. Yeah.
I haven't thought of any of the past. Even Lover was not, even like, they're all sort of not like pure love songs.
She's like, she's conflicted in Lover. Right.
She's conflicted in all of them, but like that. That maybe that's just who she is. Like some people, it's just like doesn't come simple and easy. My sense is it might to Travis, which would be a good thing. But Yeah, no, I feel like my feeling about Midnights is like, yes, it was a breakup album, but I also feel like it really was about her reflecting on her life. Just there's so much in that that like, and yeah, a breakup would cause you to reflect on your life. So I do believe that it is like would have, could have, should have. If that's really about John Mayer, yeah. then like she was kind of putting that into context in post.
Right.
Reflecting on the
More understood Dear John than it's like would have, could have, should have is her analyzing it as a grown ass woman.
Yes.
Versus the wailing in Dear John.
But also Lover to me always was like meant for the girlies who like are in love and think that this is what it should feel like, but then are also overthinkers and have like maybe an anxious attachment style. And like, to me that like really, I loved Lover for so many reasons. And like, it taught me a lot about the way that I think about relationships too, which is like the joy of Taylor, right? Is like having someone who's, you know, just good at putting it on paper, help you understand what you think. But like, yeah, Lover was like so illuminating. I feel like all of her eras like illuminate something different. Plus it's a joy that like we're all the same age. We all go through like the same phases of life at the same time. There's something super gorgeous about that as well.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. No, it's totally, yeah.
It's gorgeous and delicate, if you will.
Yes. It's really like, I completely agree with you that it, this is the thing, like she is so incredibly talented to think that she would, and unique and interesting, and just her life is very different, to think that she would just have like, and you hear so much in her music, like she idealizes this like perfect romance, and like, it's not possible to have that without low lows also. And if that's who she is, like she's gonna go through it. And that's what makes her have such great, gorgeous music. And like, yeah, I mean, to think that it's just gonna ever be like a happily ever after is almost made impossible by the fact that she's someone who believes in happily ever afters. Yeah.
Mm. You gotta dance with the devil and cry with the saints, as they say.
Yeah.
There you go.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with two U's. And enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great-tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, Extra Dark Brews, Sours, Hazies, and more, many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
So Gigi shut down rumors that she doesn't agree with the way Taylor and Travis's relationship is being handled. So there was a Us Weekly report reposted to Instagram by Perez Hilton, excuse me, like if he's still relevant, that just like saying that she also agreed, like, this is going too fast. And then she literally commented on the post, "I'm a couple of days late to this, but didn't the press try this last week with Selena? Let it be. We are all over the moon for our girl, period." And then Taylor's bestie Abigail was also spotted liking a video of Taylor singing the "Karma is the Guy on the Chiefs" lyric change over the weekend. So it's safe to say that we don't need to believe any headlines, because I doubt her friends are going to the press. Like,
this is not real. Like, they're having fun. It's genuine that they're having fun. Like, that is just so made up, clearly.
Gigi, to me, was giving "Leave Britney Alone" in the way that it needed to be given.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Good for her.
Also, Donna Kelsey went to see the Eras Tour in movie theaters. I feel like she's slowly but surely... That's how I know this might be getting more serious, because I remember her interviews like about a month ago when she was very taken aback when Hoda and Jenna were really trying to get something out of her. And she's like, "I don't know her that well. I don't really know." And now the fact that she went to go see it, she said, quote, "I did see it and I did like it. It was awesome." And that she's hoping to see it live. So.
No, I agree. The family listening to her music is real.
Also, like, Travis inviting Jason to an Eras Tour concert, that is, like, amazing.
Oh, Sammy, we were talking about this. Can you imagine her as an aunt to those girls?
That's what I can imagine most.
Yeah.
So cute.
Me too.
To be honest. Yeah.
I see that for her. Like, I love that for her.
They have to get the 22 hat. If the girls go, she has to give them the hat. Like, they'll 100%. The little 22 hat.
I mean, definitely, I could see her, I could see Aunt Taylor, like, that's the role that I feel like is the most, like, I see it the most.
I love that.
Yeah. Okay, so Allie, let us tell you about our last segment. We do something called "Can I Ask You a Question?" Ooh. And it's just, you just get to ask Taylor any hypothetical question and share it with us. And I should have told you this earlier, but I forgot.
Okay. But I come up with questions for a living, right? So I'm gonna move the two spaces that I live in and try to merge them, because I have been preoccupied with the ways that she has been intertwining herself slowly with politics. Obviously, she did it in 2018. The fact that there are Eras Tour shows right leading up to Election Day has me, like, really wondering what kind of GOTV, get out the vote, register to vote kind of stuff she's going to be doing, because she does seem democratically small d inclined. So my question would be, what is your 2024 role? Like, you have one, you have the megaphone, you've been posting about it. Are you going to be officially involved? Are you going to be, like, you know, kind of a casual observer? But, like, I want to know where the nexus of this stuff comes together.
Wow, that is just such a higher caliber question than anything Same. I've ever suggested asking on this podcast. Like, that's a real question. Like,
I'm so uncool.
No, this is like, I want to know. I'm like, wait, this is a hard hitting question.
All questions accepted here.
And also, how do you keep your bangs like that all the time? That's my other one. But, you know,
that is also a hard hitting question.
That is such an important question. Does she blow them out professionally, or does she do it herself?
Yeah. So, okay. My other question, we were talking about this in our Taylor Swift chat, is, does she do glam every day, or is that woman drawing her cat eye eyeliner herself?
She's probably mastered it, I would say, herself. Maybe not for the concerts, but maybe, like, you mean, like, for her going out to dinner? I could see her doing it herself. I want to know. So I did some, well, not, I say I did some sleuthing, but on her Instagram, when she was sharing the holiday drop the other day, there was a rendition of "Christmas Tree Farm," which is our only original song, I believe, as far as we know, that she's ever recorded publicly or shared publicly. But it was in, like, a very jazzy piano remix. I shouldn't say remix, but, like, standard, like an edit. And I want to know what else she's teasing, because I feel like these little ornaments that she dropped, things like that, I don't think that was enough. That I want to know, is there some little jazz standard coming out? Is there a holiday album because we clearly didn't get Reputation on November 10th, which was the big theory. So that didn't happen. So I would like to know.
Are she and Travis going to like market their Christmas with a holiday album?
Oh my God. I don't even like Christmas and I'm excited.
I'm not even a Christian.
I'm a cashew. I'm a Catholic Jew.
Oh, that you're so lucky. Oh my gosh. That's a great question.
I'm curious.
I'm going to build on your question.
Okay.
My question is, will you ever or would you ever do a rock album? I really want to. I would love for her to do a rock album. I think it would be so fun. Like all her songs, like even like, you know, the song Change, it has that whole rock thing at the end. Like it's like very good guitar heavy. Mm-hmm. It would be so, I just think it'd be such good music. I would love it.
The We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together rock version from 1989 World Tour. Need that.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I also like weirdly want her to collab with like Mick Jagger on something.
Yeah. Like I want, or Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, please. Yes.
Cause she, please. There's no way she's not a Bruce Springsteen fan. Like Bruce.
You know, Bruce totally. Springsteen, Faded Blue Jeans, Tennessee yes. Whiskey.
Yes. She like is the Bruce Springsteen of this age. We're lucky we got a female one.
Bless.
I've never thought of her as Bruce Springsteen and I will never unsee that now.
No, like, come on, you're going to see it.
Born in the USA. There we go.
I always think about her like career having a lot of parallels to his, which doesn't bode well for her getting married to Travis Kelce because he got into a whirlwind relationship with his first wife and then they got a divorce pretty quickly after.
Ooh.
None of that matters.
Uh-oh.
You can take that out. Anyway, Allie, thank you so much for joining us. This has been so much fun.
Guys, thank you.
Thank you, Allie.
Where can we follow you?
You guys can follow me Instagram, Twitter, at Allie Vitale, all the places. I promise to mix in some Swiftie commentary with my Capitol Hill nonsense.
And also on MSNBC.
Naturally.
Like every hour until around 3 p.m., right? Yeah.
Meet me at midnight. Lately, it's been Johanna time.
Perfect time. Midnights become your afternoons.
Yeah. when House Republicans have their say over it, they do.
Oh my God, I'm so happy they didn't shut down the government so you could be here.
Majorly.
Thank God.
They really did us all a favor.
It was all for us.
Yeah. Anyway, yes. I'm at Sammy. Holly?
I'm at So Hollywood, spelled W-O-U-L-D, and Hollywood Talk, spelled W-O-U-L-D. And also, really quick, I have tickets to see Taylor in Vancouver, but preferably I would love to trade with anyone who has two tickets for Miami or New Orleans. So DM me if you're serious inquiries only, if you're interested in trading or splitting the difference if you have a different section than mine, because mine are in the nosebleeds. But if you have any U.S. dates, please let me know. Thank you.
The nosebleeds are a cool view. Like they're not nose, like I almost object to calling them nosebleeds. I think they are like a panorama. That's what I would call them.
I That's where mine were for real. MetLife.
Yeah. Not in like some wicked Orwellian way. But anyway. All right. Thank you all for listening. And we will see you next week on the At Betches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby and Holly Wilkinson. Editing by Jazz Zapatos and Shannon Sassone. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.